expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 97.5 on the FM channel, 660 on the AM channel, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And all that construction you heard in the background was with Mike Tinker of the Laundry House Gang doing some electrical repair. So, gentlemen of the Laundry House Gang, we have Mike Tinker. Good morning, Mike.
Where's that Wally guy? We want to talk about
the
equipment.
I know. The North Korean equipment. Exactly. We got Craig Compo and we got Al Baird. Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're doing good. Great.
Thanks, Dave.
And welcome to my purple padded room with the North Korean equipment, with the equipment falling apart in front of you. And I have to bring in hired U.S. labor do it.
That's
now we're going to go into a quick segment. Craig Compo, we're going to jump into doing his business for him. But it takes us a few moments or minutes, but we're going to jump into it. Craig, you read me a ad yesterday.
A draft radio ad.
So yeah. Why don't you read it to me?
Okay, and so what I did, I was just bouncing it off a few people, getting to do either a Facebook page or a radio spot. So I guess people could call and say if they like it or don't like it.
It's a test case, Fairbanks. If you like it or not, call in and let us know.
So I'm going to read my 30-second commercial.
Read your commercial.
This is Craig Compo. I heard on the radio... Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah.
I heard on the radio that in 3.5 years, we've let more illegals into this country than the population of 38 states. Is that crazy or what? So we're celebrating by having a huge Can-Am sale. We're doubling the savings, so if the factory rebates are $1,000, you can save $2,000. If it's $3,000, you can save $6,000. But there's a catch. This sale is only good for hardworking, tax-paying, law-abiding, legal citizens with an ID, no matter where you're from. If that's you, we've got your back. If not, sorry, you're paying full price. Compo is doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president. So, Dave, my whole idea, I'm driving back from Harding Lake thinking, you know, all these people are getting these benefits for doing nothing but walking across a river, and all these hardworking taxpaying people are kind of getting screwed. So we want to take care of those people, the people that are legally in this country, not breaking the law.
You want to give them a deal.
Oh, I thought
I want to give them a deal.
What?
Isn't it my...
But if they're an illegal, you'll still sell them one, just not the deal.
Yeah, they don't get the discount.
Yeah.
Well, that's my option as a business owner. I don't have to give everybody a discount, and I can refuse service to anyone, right?
It's America. Yes, you can.
It used to be America.
So the question
you
is...
You can send them over to get a Kawasaki over there on College Road.
Yeah,
The real question, though, is how many ore hauling trucks did you see driving in from Harding Lake?
Actually, I did see. I saw one or two.
No.
Yeah.
Is it an experience or
nobody
what?
Nobody in the ditch. Yeah, it was good.
Was it big? Was it bad? Was it incredible?
I didn't pass any. I guess I've seen. Well, I see more of them going up and down in front of my place on the Stees.
Mm. Okay.
I see them there more than anywhere else.
I've not seen one yet.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen a bunch of them.
They're lower profile than a tanker.
Mm-hmm.
And
shorter.
They're a little bit longer. But, I mean, they're shorter. Well, yeah, sure.
A double.
But they're right up against the limit for what they are. And where you usually see them around Fairbanks is cruising through town, like where you see them on the Stees. And they're not going very fast because of the traffic and whatnot. And they just cruise along. In fact, they are so noticeable out there that twice I've run into one crossing in front of me, like over on 3rd Avenue there.
You run into one?
Where my wife is sitting next to me. Looking out the front of the truck, and it goes by, and I said, did you see the ore hauling truck? And she said, what? What truck?
Well, you know, from the big controversy, I've yet to see one. Can't wait, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm probably like you. I've probably missed about 10 of them, for all I know.
They got the bright orange lights on them.
Yeah.
They're well
I see them.
Every day, going back and forth to town.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going up Hagel Bar. Would probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because Al comes down the steeps to get in here. Yeah. But wait a minute. We don't want to tell people where Al lived. He's still having trouble where he used to work.
Yeah. But Craig, do you think, do you accept the risk of business loss from woke individuals who would not like that?
Well, they've never bought a spark plug from me anyway. You know, they're against anything to do with burning gas and oil, right? So I think I can take the hit. I think I can take the hit.
Not for what you charge for spark plugs. Yeah.
There's a term in the encyclopedia called compoized. Yeah. And it says, you just got removed of all your extra cash.
Yeah. We're not here to eke out a modest profit.
That's it. That's the one I like.
Yeah, I still remember that 1980s that I visited over the Bentley Mall. He's having a skidoo in there, and it has this price, and it has a payment. It says OAC, and I go, is that over at compost? Is that what it means? You know? And he goes, no, auto-approved credit.
Yeah, I love it.
I thought it was over at compost. Oh, my goodness. Mr. Tinker, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, the Laundry House Gang's been into several things here recently that are of interest. I think we've been talking a little more about and sending some messages to the legislature and the governor's office about the long trail spending. We can talk about that a little bit. March outdoor stuff, you know, I mean, they're touting that it's spring, and it was a little springy out there yesterday afternoon. This morning it didn't feel quite so springy. and then there's a couple of meetings coming up here in Fairbanks that people would be interested in. And one is a Board of Game meeting, and Al will talk about that a little bit. We can ask him some questions and whatnot. But after that meeting in a short while, there'll be the joint board meeting. And the joint board meeting is where the fish board and the game board get together to work on the regulatory and process things that aren't just specific to one of them. For example, a boundary of something, a game management unit, something like that, where it affects hunting, fishing, trapping type stuff, but it's not oriented just to hunting or just to fishing. And they have a whole...
How often do they meet?
Well, they're supposed to meet fairly regularly, but the history of it is that they've not, and they have made some excuses. And I don't mean them so much. It's been the whole bureaucratic.
So Al doesn't get along with others, is what you're saying?
Yeah, Al gets along with others fine as long as they have something to tan, you know. Yeah.
And bring it in. And it's not living.
And it's not alive yet.
Yeah. Not quite a requirement now.
He prefers that it be dead when you bring it through the door. Yeah, but what happened was the bureaucracy let it slip for a long time, and they didn't have as many meetings as they really should have. It's good for them to get together every couple of years at least and tweak some of the things that are starting to cause problems. We've got a lot of things that came on in this. I mean, for example, this whole concept of having areas for subsistence and non-subsistence areas that came on 25 years ago or so. They've never really gone back and tweaked some of that, and it needs to be done. And then there are other questions like that that come up. One is a process that is being, this one, about probably two-thirds of the issues in the question have to do with the process used by advisory committees and the staff and the relationship with the public. And I think those are really important to talk about in the sense of a lot of these are put in that look to me like they would create an additional burden on the public to get involved. And I hate to see that happen. I'd like to see that made and kept just as absolutely easily. If somebody wants to put their oar in the water and talk about something that has to do with the Board of Fish, Board of Game, they can do it without any type of power. Their local advisory committee, for that matter, they can do it just real easily. And so there's a lot of that that's going to be discussed at that joint board meeting.
Okay. And you have your board meeting next week.
No, it starts Friday.
Oh, it starts Friday.
Yes.
How many days?
Till the 22nd.
That's next week.
Yep. About a 7-day meeting. Yep.
There you go.
So, yeah, there's something for everybody at this meeting. We've got wolf issues, bear issues.
What's the most controversial?
I haven't received public comments yet. So I don't know how the public's reacting to the proposals yet. Shortly, they're supposed to be coming out. But I'd imagine, you know, the sheep issues, the decline in the sheep population is going to be highly, lots of comments on those. I don't know how, it's the three-year cycle, the Denali buffer zone.
I saw that coming up. Yeah. Like, oh, my God, here we go again.
So, and that's part of the process.
You know, even if there was a buffer zone, They'd want more of a buffer zone.
Well, they could, buffer zone for the buffer zone.
Well,
there is a buffer zone for the wolves. Stay inside the park.
Well, yeah, but no. The issue you miss there, though, is what they're trying to accomplish is to have more wolves in there, and the wolves don't have the environment in there totally with things to eat and that wanting to stay in the park, so they come out. And you're just right. The buffer zone would have to get bigger and bigger and bigger because a buffer zone would then turn out like the park. And then you put a bigger buffer zone in there. And so it's, you know, proven time after time after time that it doesn't do what it is they want it to do, basically.
We're going to take a phone call real fast, and we're going to go to a commercial. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that proposed snowmobile ad. I thought it was very good, and I think that even President Biden, if he was to come up here and want to buy a snow machine, should get the deal, because he temporarily broke his wokeness by calling the alleged murder of that college lady an illegal, even though a few days later he apologized and should have referred to the alleged murderer, as an undocumented migrant.
I think Biden would send his, President Biden would send his son Hunter up to strike the deal.
Well, Hunter's got all the money. You want to send him.
And so it'd be a cash deal.
I'd send him over to Bill Laird.
Randy, thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate it. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Again, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We're looking for Wayneheimer.
He's on his way.
He's supposedly on his way, and we'll be back after these messages.
On the trail.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Are you ready to break up the winter blues? Midnights on ATV Tours is ready to get you on the ride of your life. Your adventure begins on one of their comfortable Ski-Doo Grand Touring snow machines, and their 1 or 2 hour tours will take you through the trails and hills off China Hot Springs Road. This tour is custom tailored for the adventurist who's looking for that pure Alaskan-only experience. Midnights on ATV Tours is the place to experience your Alaskan winter. Midnights on ATV Tours, 987-3331 or online at midnightsonatvtours.com.
Sometimes driving year-round in Alaska is more like maneuvering through an obstacle course than driving on actual roads. Snow and ice, water, gravel, and damaged roads? Ride the Bridgestone AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service. Alaska proven, Alaska tough. The Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 for your light truck, SUV, and CUV delivers a dominating off-road performance and a quietly civilized ride on the road. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-330-1991. That's 1-800-330-1991. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-330-1991. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 7 above. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for snow. Tonight, lows dip down to about 7 below. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow, with another dusting Thursday through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Have the Laundry House Gang in the studio here with Wayneheimer, who was taking the long trail here. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed that that missive that you wrote that you gave me to read last time you were here in regard to coyotes.
Oh, the cockroach coyotes.
Yes. Yeah. And, as the guy said, it's like they're like cockroaches. When you see one, you have 100. Yeah. But in cockroaches, you have 1,000,000.
Kind of like illegal immigrants.
Oh, you're helping your sales,
yeah,
Craig.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Anyway, what's on your mind there, Wayne?
The Long Trail is on my mind.
We thought so.
Have you heard of the Long Trail?
Yes. I think it's a very good place for bear bait as people walk along.
Well, I've taken an interest in the Long Trail since, as I looked through my files, several years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of poking around, and I'm not an investigator of that sort, but I've been kind of poking around because I'm wondering where the idea came from.
Yeah. Where did it come from?
Well, it came from an outfit called Alaska Trails, which is a special interest group that has an interest in Alaska Trails, and they think... they have quite an interest in how trails should be managed and so on and so forth. And it seems to be, according to my sources, I have sources. Can you imagine that?
Yes, I can.
According to my sources, the idea originated with the Alaska Trails Special Interest Group, non-governmental organization, not-for-profit, we presume. And they somehow got with somebody who was planning the budget in the Division of Parks and said, you know, we need a trail comparable to the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Coast Trail that would lure more tourists up to Alaska because the tour boats are at capacity and the only way we're going to expand tourism is to have people stay longer. So the person writing the budget for the Division of Parks wrote in some number of dollars for planning for a long trail, which is would be long. And the idea is to have a hiking trail, I guess, from Seward to Fairbanks to start. And who knows how long it might get after that, after enough people get patches on their day pack.
From sea to signing sea, yeah. from the Seward to the Arctic.
It might be. But anyway, I first became aware of it when the director of parks, a gentleman named Mr. Geese, you know, attended a laundry house meeting and told us what a wonderful idea it was and how it was going to be the savior of the Alaskan tourist economy and so on and so forth. And that puzzled me a little bit because I've spent plenty of time in my working life slogging along with a heavy pack and mosquitoes and swamp.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to me to be all that attractive.
Are you trying to say from your experience this guy's off his bonkers?
Well, yes.
Over-optimistic.
Over-optimistic.
Yeah, and that's the way great ideas always start. They're always a little strange, but this one has not proven to be that great an idea. I liken it to the Field of Dreams movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you build it, they will come. The Field of Dreams movie came out in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And all these years later, we have finally, the entrepreneurs involved with the baseball diamond, have finally managed to market that into a minor tourist attraction out there in the cornfield. I don't know how long it will take for us to market, you know, a 300-mile walk through the bog and the mosquitoes with bears chomping at you all the way into a minor tourist attraction, but it's a fanciful thing.
And then
it's grown to take a lot of money. And that's where Mike will talk.
Well, let me say this first. When this first came up about 4 years ago, I think, we got on our radar. We thought, okay, what are the assumptions they made to assume that something like this would attract tourists? Because it doesn't sound like the kind of thing, you know, the cartoon that you sent. With Grandma and
it's
Grandpa.
It's going to increase search and rescue.
Yeah, well, yeah. Grandma and Grandpa getting off the tour boat and saying, oh, boy, there's the start of the trail, you know, let's go. But what we did then, because we try to take these kind of things seriously, we're looking at hundreds of millions of dollar project here. It needs all kinds of things and rights of way and construction and, you know, signage and all that kind of thing. So, our questions centered around, and we asked them of Mr. Geese at Parks, and we asked them of the governor's office. We said, well, is this trail exclusive? Does it
Is it just for guys with backpacks and water bottles to go on, or can
motorized vehicle?
Can Al take or one of his friends?
Can a legal citizen buying a Can-Am at Compo's, a side by side at full price, at a full price discount? Can they take that on this trail?
Well, the whole idea was: is it a multi-purpose concept or is it specific? And there's no answer. It's a hem and haw. Well,
they kind of say on their website, there's braids of this trail. And they're motorized and non-motorized. What they don't tell you is 85% of it is non-motorized.
Of what's being recognized now.
Right now, yeah.
So we started looking in about 3 years ago then at what the state was putting in the budget for this thing. Because these guys have been go, 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 and let's put some money in. And it's been millions of dollars. There's been some from the Fed and some from the state. They're off and running. One of the other questions we asked is, what is this going to do to traditional access? If Dave Prues has a trapline trail that takes off at mile 273, what's going to happen where this trail intersects that one? Is he going to be able to use that for his trapline trail?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, what impact is it going to have? Well, we don't get any answer to that either. It's going to go across driveways, you know, all that kind of thing. So we look at, I'll just use as an example, this year's money. So the governor came around about a year ago now, and he worked through several agencies, DNR and the Department of Transportation, and they said, you know, where can we spend some of this infrastructure money, some of this extra money we've got to improve things for the travelers in Alaska? Well, you know, it wasn't just trail travelers, it was everybody. And so several organizations got together. I myself made a whole bunch of inquiries of people to find out where would we like a few more rest areas and turnouts. Where are our real big trails that we used for ATV access into the backcountry during hunting season? Wouldn't it be nice to have a toilet where that trail takes off instead of having everybody run out in the bushes? You know how much money's in the budget for those things, Dave, for this next year request? A zero.
Yeah.
There's $20.6 million in there for this long trail.
I got a point, too, to that. So when I looked on the website, the Alaska Trails website, they list about 30 agencies or groups that have resolutions of support. Not one of them is a motorized user group. You know, how popular are four-wheelers and snow machines? Obviously, I sell them. I've got an interest in that. But besides that, listen to some of the names of the groups that support this. The Fairbanks North Star Borough. And I would maintain that Brett Roderman is probably the only one on the borough that has anything that burns gas for a recreational product. The National Park Service supports it. The Fairbanks Cycle Club. You know, there's nobody on here. There's nobody on this list that has anything to do with motorized. So when they try and say it, oh, it's motorized and motorized, I'm calling bull on them. I'm calling it.
Wayne, you've been here for 15 minutes, and you really bring it.
Stirred the pot.
I'm working hard out there.
Okay.
There's another.
How are the squirrels doing at your property?
They're thriving because I'm busy. And I haven't yet contracted with that 13-year-old boy.
With a 20-gauge shotgun.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we should also mention, I'm not going to use names, but there are members of the like state parks and so forth that we talk to that are totally against this trail, think it's ridiculous. They've actually said that, you know, that there's this plan, they're going to build these massive hotels in Nenana to house all these people getting off a boat and walking up the trail or whatever. You know, this is fantasy. It really is just, I'm sure they'll get the state to spend the money on the hotels too. It probably be, you know, financed. You know what we need next to the hotel and they're going to build Nenana? We need
we
need a first class animal
shelter.
Animal shelter. I think we need one over there.
You're getting off track. There.
Boy, Wayne, when you bring it, you bring it.
Well, there's another aspect of this that is got me scratching my head and going, what in the world is this about? And that is that Senator Murkowski has put stuff in the line to have BLM manage this whole long sucker.
Boondoggle.
Yeah, and, you know, if you love the way BLM is planning and managing every place else where they are, this is just your cup of tea.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We have some bumper music for you. It's obviously from It's got to be from Glennard's David Bowie fame bumper music. I can't wait to hear this. Then we have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we'll be back.
Then we'll start a part of it.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
CA Special Counsel Robert Hur testifying on Capitol Hill and his report about President Biden's retention of classified documents at his home and former workplace. Florida Republican Representative Matt Gaetz questioning her on the president's response to allegations about classified documents.
February 8th, the White House questioned, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Well, the White House and Democrats have called statements about the president's memory inaccurate and inappropriate. A pair of Israeli airstrikes in northern Lebanon killing at least two people, wounding 20, marking a continued escalation between Israel and Hezbollah. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that law enforcement officers must obtain a warrant before using aircraft to scope out the area around a person's home with binoculars or cameras with zoom lenses. The decision released Friday comes in a case that dates to 2012. Alaska State Troopers had received a tip that John William McKelvey was growing marijuana on his property in a sparsely populated area north of Fairbanks. An attorney for McKelvey called the ruling a tremendous decision to protect the privacy rights of Alaskans. The Alaska Constitution protects the right to be free of unreasonable searches, the ruling states. The fact that a random person might catch a glimpse of your yard while flying from one place to another does not make it reasonable for law enforcement officials to take to the skies and train high-powered optics on the private space right outside of your home without a warrant. Patty Sullivan, a spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Law, said the agency is reviewing the decision.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
When you need to get your car fixed, it's hard to find a shop that doesn't leave you confused and feeling taken advantage of. Hi, I'm Mike from Samard Automotive. Our experienced team of technicians and advisors empower you to make clear and competent decisions for your transportation needs.
Your dog has been outside playing, jumping, walking, and running through, well, just about everything. And he's looking kind of scruffy. Make your dog a happy dog. Take him to Happy Tails Grooming Salon. At Happy Tails, they treat your dog like one of their own. Happy Tails will groom any size dog, but if you have one that needs a little extra attention, just ask them about their new services to make your dog look even better. Call Happy Tails at 457-PAWS. That's 457-7297. Or stop by 910 Old Steeves next to Fred Meyer East. Make your dog look like a Happy Tails dog. At Happy Tails Grooming Salon.
Before you know it, the geese will be flying, the snow will be melted, and that means building season. With decades of heavy equipment experience, Homestead Pumping and Thawing can help you get your excavation project done right the first time. With the best equipment and operators to help you with all your excavation needs, such as land clearing, foundations, septic systems, driveways, and more. Call today, 488-1566, to get on the schedule for your spring septic or dirt work needs. Before you build, you need Homestead. 488-1566, or visit their website, homesteadpt.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun if you're prepared. Before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need. Rods to tackle to ice augers. At Frontier Outfitters, you'll also find the right winter clothing. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs in Century Hardware. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It gets interesting conversations, what you don't hear.
Probably better that way.
Yeah, that way we can, and luckily it's not recorded. Anyway, Mr. Tinker, you have a question for me.
Well, I've got, how many questions you want, Dave? We've got lots of questions here, but Al and I, every once in a while, are famous for going through our regulatory documents and our things like the Alaska Constitution and statutes. And we're looking for some specific language about something. And it's every once in a while I do it on court cases that I'm watching because the Alaska Supreme Court comes up with doesn't follow any logic or common sense, and you think, how did they come up with that? So you go into our statutes, and the very first thing on the second page is that the statutes are all in common language and mean exactly what's printed. You're not allowed to interpret them. And you take a look at the court and you go scratch your head and say, boy, we're really following that strong, aren't we? But I was in this Constitution this morning looking up something for some research for some testimony that I need to give to the joint boards when they come up. And I just thumbing through and I hit on an article down in the bottom and I thought, you know, what is this? This is something to do with the approval of federal amendments to the Statehood Act and federal statutes and regulation type things that come along. And it's Article 12, Section 14 of the Alaska Constitution. And what it basically says, I'm not going to get into the gory details here, but this is one that you might like, Dave, and that is that the Alaska Constitution finds the federal statutes and proposals ineffective, in other words, not applying, unless they're approved by two-thirds vote of each house of the legislature or a vote of the people, and there's a process in there for they can take them. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to myself, I wonder if the regulations the sturgeon was cited under were approved by the legislature. Because what this clearly says is that the state's not going to pay any attention to you, Fed, if you're outside of the thing and you're talking about the things that are in our statehood compact.
We're going to take a phone call real quick.
Okay, let's go.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
My name's Guy.
Hello, Guy.
If I can drag you back to your favorite subject of the last 15 minutes, I think David knows roughly where my property is up on Gilmore Trail.
Yes, I do.
And just by the quirks of fate, I ended up with 800 and some feet of Alyeska pipeline right-of-way across my property.
Yes, you did.
And if anybody is thinking of doing that in their next life, I'd recommend against it. but anyway, it's been an adventure. The nature of the pipeline, well, first of all, if you were to look out the window of your light plane, if you flew from here to Prudhoe Bay, if you looked out the window, what would look like a trail? And it probably would be the Alyeska Pipeline Service Road. The nature of that right-of-way, first of all, the property remains in the ownership of the private owners, and Alyeska has a right-of-way, and originally had a construction easement next to it. That's a right-of-way for Alyeska, and it's contracted and so on, and security. It's not a public right-of-way, and I have had periodic encounters with snow machiners and four-wheelers thinking that it was a new highway for them, a new recreation place. Fortunately, there's a neighborhood road right next to it, and without a great deal of bloodshed, I am able to convince them to use the road rather than the pipeline right-of-way. But I've been paying attention to this long trail business in fear that it would be extending north from Fairbanks and that they would put a sign up on my property saying that it was now part of a long trail. Fortunately, as far as I can tell, it goes up from Matsu or from Anchorage up to Fairbanks and stops. But if you tell me there's a huge amounts of money in the budget for it, you're right. Somebody's going to want to extend it. But they're going to have to purchase a right-of-way from private property owners. And there's a couple hundred private property owners that have that right-of-way on their property. And it's not open to the public. And if the public wants to acquire little pieces of right-of-way, I guess they can try to do it. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that into the mix. Did you guys think about the pipeline turning into a wonderful hiking trail?
This certainly would be an attractive thing for the people that are planning this to look at that. What I wanted to do is back up with you, though, and ask you if anybody hikes through there. Did anybody walk through there with their backpack like Heimer was talking about, or is it just motorized that have been seen yet?
No, originally there were some horse people that would come through every so often, and I really wouldn't care if they rode their horses up the avoid the neighborhood pickup trucks and so on by staying over on the right of way. I didn't care so much about horse people when there weren't all that many of them.
Yeah.
Nobody's hiking bad.
Okay, so that's the reason I asked the question, was to see if you'd ever seen anybody walking out there. But because, and I'll just go on and tell you while you're on the air, one of the things we did at Laundry House Gang was we asked a couple of our guys who are in the tourist business, who haul tourists all over Fairbanks summer and winter, and we said, take a thought about this long trail and hiking all this, and let us know what you think about the standard for use, because the proponents of this thing are sure that it's going to be wall-to-wall people. And one of the guys, and I won't, I'm kind of like Wayne or Craig, I'm not going to say his name, but he has hundreds of people come through his business. So for 1 year, he asked them all. He said, if there was a long trail that you could get out and do some hiking on and whatnot, would you use it? Dave, you want to take a wild guess what the answer to how many were interested?
Zero.
So that was where I was going, Guy.
So I got the question right. Yeah, you were going to give me.
Yeah, you're 100%.
I'm the man. I'm the myth. I'm the legend.
Dave's flying around the.
My head is getting big in the purple padded room. I could whack my head on the purple pads.
You could, yeah.
Darn, I was thinking I could make money with
Guy, thank you very much for the phone call, buddy. Really appreciate it. You have a great afternoon.
I could make some money with Pamper vending machines along the trail, couldn't I?
Yeah, and so I think
the highest selling product would be mosquito dope.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
But that is petroleum.
Oh, base.
Yeah.
Garlic? Can you sell garlic along the way?
As long as it's not fertilized with petroleum fertilizer.
Yeah.
You're hitting all the buttons
cooked
today,
on an oven.
Man.
You know.
I was getting at here is that the guys asking for this money have made assumptions on the usage. And they have claimed that, we've done some tests, and we've done some pools and polls and things, and all these people are going to come in. It's going to be hundreds of people using this thing. And we can't back that up. In the tourist industry around Fairbanks, the interest has been zero. Now, the borough has some interest because they have a trails system, a trails department, and all that kind of thing. So certainly if something like that were to come along. Now, if you were to ask that question of the borough assembly and the mayor and say, and for your part of this long trail, we anticipate that the maintenance is going to be about $256,000 a year, we'll see how their enthusiasm runs on that, because I think that's what people don't understand. When you commit to these type of projects, you are, especially if you stick a federal dollar in there, you're going to commit to maintaining it for a very long time. That's why some of the other big long trails that Wayne mentioned, like the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail, still do not have continuous rights of way and whatnot. It's because there are people along there who don't want to deal with them.
Part of their vision is to bolster the Alaskan economy by attracting visitors from all over the world. Have they done any studies? Have they really? You can't do a study in Montana and compare it to 500 miles in Alaska necessarily. I mean, you can't. You know, there's so many in this area that's just so remote, and they just haven't thought it through. But they have this vision. It's just going to change the economy. It's going to make everybody happy, and especially if there's nothing.
They're trying to put this on the same magnitude platform as the Pacific Coast Trail and the Appalachian Trail. Are they nuts? And the only way this might have a semblance of working, is motorized.
Yeah.
Snow machines in the winter. That's the only way. And hunters accessing it with ATVs.
It's the last thing they want.
Now, keep in mind, we're not against trails, individually here or organization.
But this is discriminatory.
Well, we're also against the concept that that we're going to spend a lot of energy on this thing and commit to a lot of energy in the future for something that may be restrictive like that. At the same time, we're not doing the things I talked about that would help 90% of the Alaska travelers that are driving on the highway system and whatnot. If this was split somehow so they were going to do a little planning on the long trail and build us five more rest areas on the parks, Alaska Highway, Richardson Highway, Denali Highway maybe, then you look at this and say, okay, we're going the right direction. But it's zero for that kind of thing and $20 million for the long trail. I just can't support that kind of thing.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Wayne Heimer why he has a bunched-up fist right now. He's getting excited here in the purple padded room. Luckily, it's padded. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. Is the PSA test reliable for prostate cancer?
You got to think of the PSA blood test as testing for something that should be in your prostate but shouldn't be in your blood. If the PSA is up in the bloodstream, that means it's leaking out of the prostate, either because of something going on in the prostate or because of prostate cancer.
Find out more about men's health at Fairbanks Urology with Dr. Tony Nima online at fairbanksurology.com.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. Part-time service also provides education benefits so you can complete the education you need to reach your career goals. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you have a little or even a lot of time to share? You can help with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Call 45-SHARE and get on the schedule. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank collects and redistributes food through many programs, including food boxes, bone builders, and agency shopping. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank, helping to ensure that no child in the Tanana Valley will go hungry. Call 45-SHARE to volunteer to help now at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, providing food for hungry people without charge. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 5th Avenue.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 7 above. Northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, slight chance for snow, 7 below. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow, with another dusting Thursday through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And with the Laundry House Gang, but the world wants to know, Wayne, what was on your mind with that bunched up fist?
Well,
was Al pinching in the butt?
No, I was just holding up a finger trying to get in the conversation, and I relaxed.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, what was on your mind?
What was on my mind is, you know, anytime there's money, there's going to be folks looking to exploit it.
Yes.
And, I don't know a guy, but I commend him for his rational approach. If a few horses go by, that's not a big deal. But everybody is kind of trying to be polite and reasonable about the long trail, and only a few crazies that I know are saying, wait a minute, this is silly. But as an example of that guy brought to my mind is, you know, the long trail planners are looking at running this baby along the railroad right of way.
Yeah.
And the railroad is looking at some money and saying, well, yeah, we could maybe harvest a little off of this, which would be really interesting because there's some question in my mind about how welcoming the railroad is of snow machines using their right-of-way. It's just more money and more bad ideas that never die. And I think it would be nice if this one forgot itself.
Well, actually, here's the thing about it. The sad part is once a governmental entity starts spending money on it,
on planning,
the person in charge of that sees more funding and more power.
Yep.
And
oh,
they
I can
continue
hire four
it,
more people.
Yeah, and get it more and more, and then all of a sudden you can't stop the train; it's left the station.
Yeah, knowing that there's planning money out there, my sources again tell me that every NGO that just came out of somebody's kitchen table is trying to get a chunk of that planning money to plan their 3 miles of the trail or their mile and a half or whatever, and get in on the.
The cash flow.
And, it, you know, I don't doubt it. That's the way the world works. And now my hand is at ease.
Okay. Now, this question is to Al. Al?
Yes, sir.
What would you recommend to our listeners to go hunting and fishing in the month of March?
In the month of March?
Yeah, this month.
You have until about the end of March around here for grouse and ptarmigan hunting. But what I would do this weekend is the Alaska Trappers Association is having their annual fur auction and hide horn auction Saturday and Sunday. And so I would take a break from fishing and hunting and attend the auction and find a good deal on some furs or antlers or horns.
Wayne, what would your recommendation be for the month of March?
My recommendation would be to get your snowshoes on or your snow machine, whatever you've got.
Snow machine.
Take your ice auger out, drill a hole, and fish for vertebrate.
Mm. Mike Tinker, what would your recommendation be?
Well, for those people that want to harvest, I like ice fishing this time of year because you got so much nice light. It's a great time to take youngsters out. They don't have to sit in the dark and cold and whatnot. If you have just some little thing to break the wind, they can be perfectly comfortable. But this is also a time of year, you've seen some of them in the newspaper, where there are some fantastic photo opportunities because of the light.
Yes.
As the light comes back. And if people are interested in that, maybe getting even something ahead to the Christmas card for next year, a morning or an evening, or even in the bright with the play on shadows and the trees before they get their leaves on. If you're interested in photography, this is a great time to get out. The weather will be good enough that you can get out without wearing your super parka. If you got a snow machine or, like Wayne says, some way to get around skis or snowshoes, great time to get off a little bit and take some pictures. It'll really be different.
Craig, what's your recommendation?
I'm going to stay on the same page, although I'd recommend you get on your skidoo with your ice auger holder that they have now. They have a link attachment kit, so you got a quick connect for your ice auger holder. You got your cargo box in the back of your Expedition LE, and you can drive to Chattanooga, and there's some really good fishing right now in Chattanooga. I've got a customer that has a Scandic, Skidoo Scandic with the independent front suspension and a 900 Ace motor. How much time do we have?
Not enough.
Ice fishing is good. It is that time of year. I was just at Harding Lake, and there's a bunch of, I don't know if they're catching anything.
Anyone with a legal residence,
yes,
driver's license can pick all this
law abiding, tax paying citizen of the country or with a legal ID.
Hold
yes,
on,
they can come down and get
it. Saturday.
They get a heck of a deal on a Can Am.
In the news last night, there was an interesting quip. There's a county in California, maybe it was a city. I guess it was Huntington Beach City, within the city limits, that said they're not letting anybody. This is in California now with Gavin Newsom standing up there with his shiny teeth. And whatnot, but Huntington Beach is saying nope, nobody votes in Huntington Beach boundaries unless they've got an ID.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's great.
That's one county.
Yeah. My thought for the month of March is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the Open North American.
Yeah, terrific.
You go see the Open North American. You can hike into Creamer's Field.
Yep.
View it from there. There's many locations and. It's such an important race that they're not putting Compo's Outdoor Show on, nor are they putting on Fairbanks Foodies. They're going to be having the race broadcasted live.
So, Craig,
I'm going to be President Trump. Yeah. You're fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, also this weekend, I should throw in there.
But the 3 days, you know, you watch it any day, and it's specific. for Fairbanks. And, this race is nowhere else in the world.
And that race is something that if you're in the area, you should experience once and get up close.
Yeah.
Because it is a unique type of thing. I know I've done it several times over the years and just enjoyed the heck out of being just up close enough to see it without watching it on TV or anything like that.
That's all very nice. But I think, Dave, I heard you talking with Jennifer Juhas about your sheep hunt, and I think you should stay inside and write that up.
And I have, if you need to go out and shoot something and you have a 20-gauge, I've got a herd of squirrels for you out at Wayne's house. And if you got a 13-year-old who wants to practice duck hunting season early, maybe ground sluice something, we got Wayne squirrels for you.
And Wayne lives out by Salcha somewhere, right?
No,
and one other thing this weekend is the 19th annual Tired Iron. So that's over at Lakeview. You got a show and shine with all the neat machines on Saturday. So you can hit both. Hit the dog races.
What time is that on Saturday and Sunday?
Like 10 to 4 on Saturday. Most everything's on Saturday.
Okay.
Oval races are Sunday, but lots of activities. There's all kinds of racing and events and show and shine going on Saturday. So get out there and check that out, too.
And while you're at the dog sled races, attend the auction. It's in the parking lot.
You know, here's the thing about it. You know, bears come out from hibernating. We're done hibernating now. March. Yep. It hits us. And before you know, we're in April, May, June, July, August, September. It's nonstop now with activities and what we do. We're Fairbanksans. We're Alaskans. It's not. We don't need a long trail.
No, no.
Yeah, no, we don't. Yeah, that's the one thing we won't be doing.
One of the biggest things that just kind of hits you this time of year is if you drive in the driveway after you've gone home from work.
It's still sunshine.
So it's 5:30 when you get there, and you look around, and you realize, oh, my gosh, it's still daylight out here. You know, I got a couple hours. I could go in the work in the woodshed, or I could go over to Wayne's and shoot squirrels or something like that.
No.
You know, my name is Wayne Heimer, and I haven't shot a squirrel in 2.4 years.
Hi, Wayne.
And I need help.
Hey, if you're feeling really athletic and you feel like you want a challenge, we're going to be demoing the stand-up Widescape snow machine this weekend. We found a nice powder field. You can come out to the store and sign up. On Saturday, you'll be able to go out and see, it's a lot easier than you think. I'm 63, and I was out playing in the powder with it, having a ball. So another plug for the business, but I just want to say people have been asking, when can I do a demo?
You see, he's doing all this now, plugging his business now, because this weekend he's off the air.
And they didn't
tell him that, did they?
No, they didn't. No, they. No, you're just the first one that told me. I had no idea.
Well, you're in the purple padded room.
Yeah.
Now, people probably think you're joking about the purple padded room, but I would tell you this.
Everything but the ceiling.
By KFAR down on 10th
and the
Avenue
North
Korean
equipment. I mean, look at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That screams Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Bright purple padded egg crate type sound.
The fact that we get over the airways just boggles my mind.
Miracles happen.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Dave, thanks very much for having us back in.
Oh, you're very welcome. We have about two more minutes, so how's that Iditarod going?
Oh, I wanted Al's opinion on that.
I'm no follower of the Iditarod, but you know, it did pique my curiosity when one of the mushers had to shoot a moose in self-defense, or defense of life and property, which other mushers have had to do. It's nothing new, but it was to me, as one that follows regulations, that the Iditarod board said that, you know, all a musher has to do is gut the moose and we'll take care of the rest. And I was always curious on how the Iditarod race committee could trump Alaska state regulations on
defense of life and property.
How you follow a regulation. So, you know, that's been unfolding, and apparently he didn't properly gut the moose, so he got penalized. So now I'm wondering, he even furthermore didn't follow the regulation on what happens after you shoot something in life and defense of property. So it'll unfold. We'll see what goes on, but I'm sure it'll just get
funnier and funnier. No. This is one of those, like, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. You gave him a 2-hour penalty. This is where. Yep.
And he's still ahead, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, the 2-hour penalty is fine for the race, but I'm wondering how he wasn't handled compliantly with the regulation.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. Fairbanks, you have a great Tuesday. I will see you tomorrow.